hello, good morning. Radio. Hello, and good morning, good morning, good morning to each and every one of you, if you're listening to this in the morning time. This is Bishop Thomas Henry, and you are listening to the Apostolic Voice. I thought I'd come to you on this Sunday morning because I've seen some recent posts online that I really do not agree with. And being that I am not just a bishop in the Lord's church, but I am also an apostle in the Lord's church, I see it expedient and fitting that I answer some questions and respond to some of the idiosyncrasies that are being posted on Facebook by some of our apostles, our so-called apostles, if you will. Because some of them undoubtedly do not have a clear understanding of the Greek, and they don't have a clear understanding of the scriptural text. And some of them are doing what we call, I remember I told you about this word called anachronism. It's where we take today's understanding and we force it upon the past, force it upon an era that it does not fit. And this is what a lot of our brothers and sisters are doing. They are taking today's understanding of these various ministries and structures, which is in error, and they force it upon Scripture and upon the first, second, and third century church. And this, my brothers and sisters, should not be the case. Now, let's look at this for a few moments as we deal with this today on the Apostolic Voice. Praise God. The apostle, apostolos in Scripture, missionary, emissary, ambassador. Jesus was one. The 12 was one. We talked about that on my last broadcast, that there are several types of apostles that are mentioned in Scripture. The bishop. The bishop is also mentioned in Scripture. The crazy thing is that people think because you elect, a bishop can be elected, that a bishop is not a call office by God. What they fail to realize is that most of them actually overlook what actually happened in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, before they drew lots to determine if Matthias was the one, they had nominated several names, several people. Read the text. And they came upon Matthias and somebody else. And whoever, I can't remember all the names, but I know when they whittled it down to whoever they got it down to, that the final vote, the final tally, went to Matthias. And Matthias is named among the 12. Now, if that don't look like an election of an apostle to me, I don't know what is. Then the apostle sets the bishops in the church, the apostles, because every gift comes out of the apostles. And so you have the apostles first in the church. You have the prophets. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then you have the teacher, which is the bishop, the pastor. The bishop, the pastor are one and the same. And if you really look at it, and you really are a serious student of the word, every one of those ministries in Ephesians 4 and 11 is pastoral. They have, each one of them is episcopos in every sense of the word. Just like Paul says, each one of them is a diaconia, a deacon, a minister of a deacon. All of them are also episcopos in every sense of the word, because each one of them has a measure of government, a measure of being an overseership. Pastor is specifically the bishop. But every one of them, like every gift is apostolic. Every one of them gifts are prophetic. But you have the office of a prophet, the office of apostles, the office of bishop, and the office of evangelist. Each one of them offices have specific giftings for their office. That's why we speak of also the gift of the apostle, the gift of the prophet, the gift of the evangelist, the gift of the teacher, the pastor teacher, because each one of them offices also giftings. If somebody called to that, they should have that gifting. The church is screwed up. because we keep trying to force today on yesterday. And that's some of the worst case of exegesis that I ever seen. And then we got people who literally fight over garments. Now, how are you going to say an apostle can wear a shamir, but your overseer, who's not a and not even consecrated a bishop, can wear a shamir? And no, the overseer is not the first stage of the episcopacy. If he ain't consecrated, he ain't no bishop. And how can he be, you know, an apostle? According to Scripture, is already a bishop. That's part of his ministry, her ministry. Why are people trying to change the text to justify a paradigm that is not even in Scripture? Because if you look in Scripture, the bishop, pastors, the local church, the bishop, pastors, and ministry. The bishop, pastors, and ministry. And people don't realize that I don't know how else to put it. You have to ignore what Scripture says to come up with some of this junk these people are pushing. They say that bishops cannot ordain apostles. They need to read the Word. They really need to read the Word. First of all, nowhere in Scripture, I challenge anybody on this program, on this blog talk, I challenge you. Can nobody show me one scripture where it says an apostle was affirmed? Matter of fact, the word affirmed, if I'm not mistaken, is nowhere, because there are about 11 different words for ordained that we translate as the one word ordained. There's 11 different words, and not one of them means to affirm, if I'm not mistaken. And not one of them is used to deal with the apostleship. We say affirm today, but that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible says that in Acts 13 and 11, Paul and Barnabas, and usually their text means Barnabas first, are part of two or five prophets that are at Antioch. And the Holy Spirit speaks and tells these prophets to ordain, set aside, because to set apart means to ordain. To ordain, set apart these two men, Barnabas, and Paul, because you got to do like Scripture. The Scripture always lists Barnabas first and Paul. And in Acts 14 and 14, it calls both of them. It does not call one of them one thing and say one of them has the gift for anything. It says both of them are apostles, and both of them are made apostles in Acts 13, 1, 2, and 3. Read your Bible. Stop believing some of this junk that people keep teaching you. Stop falling prey for this error that cannot be validated by Scripture. Are you hearing me? Just want to share a few things with you this morning before I go to church, because I get so tired of people keep pushing the same chunk over and over and over again like it is biblical truth. You can't find it. No, this is not my opinion. This is what the Bible says. The only way you cannot get this from the Bible, if you bring your bias to the text and read your bias into the text. The Bible says Jesus ordained 12 apostles. They knew they were the apostles. They knew they were sent. He uses the word, Jesus himself uses the word. Read John's gospel. John says, you don't see it in the English, but you see it in the Greek. He said, the servant, the deacon, is not greater than his Lord. Neither is he the deacon of huperistes. Both of them are servants. In the text, it said, are not greater than him. Neither is the apostles. That's what the text says. In John 13, Jesus said, neither are you apostles greater than he that sent you. So Jesus knew that it was apostle from the beginning, contrary to what some of the other cats are trying to teach. The text is plain. The text speaks for itself. You need to let the Bible speak and stop bringing your bias to the text. The Bible says that prophets in Acts 13 and 1, 2, and 3 ordained apostles. Those prophets, it is the legend and tradition says that Peter pastored Antioch. But the Scripture says, even though Peter was there, Peter may have been an overseer over that church, a bishop, a general bishop over that church. Apostle, it was prophets that was actually assigned to that church, the pastor of that church, according to Acts 13 and 1. Those apostles did not get Peter's permission to ordain Barnabas and Paul. That should speak loud and clear to you to tell you that those prophets were assigned to that particular church. They had the governmental authority in that church. Those prophets was the bishops of the Antioch. They were the bishops. They were the bishops, the overseer of that local congregation at Antioch. And at Antioch, they ordained Barnabas and Paul. We know this because Acts 14 and 14 says that when they called the apostle Barnabas and Paul, and the word there in the Greek is Barnabas Kai Paulos. Kai there means is the end, is a connector. It means that these two people are the same thing that's mentioned before them, and that is the word apostolos in the Greek, apostle. Why do people keep bringing their own? You know, I know what the problem is. The problem is that we got this elitist mindset, this mindset that you want to be the head and you don't want Christ to be in charge. Because if you really want Christ to be in charge, you'll stop fighting over these positions. You'll stop fighting over these titles. You'll stop fighting over who is the greatest. You are no better than Jesus' apostles when they was fighting over who would sit on his left side and who would sit on his right side. Jesus says to his disciples, if you would be great among those that would be the greatest among you, must be your servant. Must be your servant, your deacon, your euphoristis, your servant. The servant is not greater than his Lord. But some of you act like you are the Lord. The servant, be a servant. It's nothing wrong with being a servant in the kingdom of God. Because your greatness is not attached to you being bishop so-and-so and apostle so-and-so. Your greatness is attached to being a servant in the kingdom and serving the people of God. As my granddad used to sing in that old Baptist hymn, to serve the present age, a calling, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all, my power engaged because I want to do what? To do my master's will. So, brothers and sisters, this is the issue among us today. The issue among us today, we got people who don't even understand that in the first century church, there was no such thing as you greater than me, I'm bigger than you, you inferior to me, and da da da. In the early church, the apostles, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, introduced a ministry that was complementarian. Complementarian. History proves that around 250, the clergy of the church began to think of themselves as priests. And they began to bring the Levitical priesthood into the church. And when they did it, they began to think of the bishop, who was simply the pastor of his church, as the high priest. And those presbyters who were just ruling the church, and while the bishop preached, they helped the bishop rule the church, began to think of them as priests. And the deacons who mirrored the Levites, according to the Levitical understanding that was brought into the church, were seen as an inferior ministry. Isn't that a little different than what Jesus said? How can the deacon be seen as inferior and one of them be seen as greater? And see, that's what kills me, because, yes, I celebrate people when they are consecrated and ordained, no matter what altar they are. But when we maintain this concept that when people, you and the deacon, you're at the Lord's office, and you and the bishop, you're in the highest office, that's not the scriptures. That's not what the, yes, we all are servants. We all got to be servants. But none of us. Yes, we may have some who are the head, who may be the leader, but because I'm leading an organization doesn't mean I am better than the deacons. I'm better than the priests. I'm better than the other bishops. I am just Henry, and I am Henry, and I may be bishop and chief apostle of the Apostolic Communion Church, but I'm still one among equals. I am one among equals. And when we get that, when we rediscover. When we rediscover what God actually did in the first century. We'll have greatness in the church again. When we rediscover what God started with this church, we'll have power in this church again. Bishops fighting over apostles wearing the same thing they're wearing. Somebody need to have a seat. And then this is what's so crazy about this. You have adopted something from another church, Anglican and Roman Catholic, and you have not even taken the time or the energies to really study the church. You have accepted the opinions of some other colleges of bishops who have skewed their understanding to support their paradigm. Not to support what Scripture says, but to support their idea that you are lords in God's church, you're princes in God's church, and everything else that the Bible says you're not. We all are king. Everybody in the church, whether you're a layperson, you're a deacon, you're an elder, or you're bishop, apostle, whatever your gifting and function or offices in the church, we're all kings and priests. There is no separate priest from there is a presbytery of the clergy, but there's not a separate priesthood of the clergy. I know I've made some people mad. You don't have to agree with me, but I stand on what I say because I got the Bible. And the Bible says, let everything going down but the word of God. Trust in his word. I stand on his word. I stand on his word. And I think the church needs to get back to it. That's one reason why we have no power. That's one reason why we dance in the church and nothing happens. That's one reason why we cast out devils and the devils don't even move. Because we have not chased him. We'll chase a calling without chasing him. I only chase my calling because I'm chasing after what he has for me. But some of you, you're chasing after something that haven't even called you. They haven't even touched you. They haven't even reached out for you. But the text is very emphatic. People said, apostles can't be ordained by bishops. Read your text. Read your Bible. Stop believing this jargon, this stuff that other people are preaching out there. Read your Bible. This stuff is so plain, a fool can't even err. That's what the scripture says. Some people are so earthly minded, I guess that's the best way to say it. They have no heavenly good. Text is very plain. The text speaks for itself. Read the text for yourself. Stop believing all the lies. Stop believing all the hearsay. Stand on God's word. There are still apostles in the church today. There are still bishops who are pastors in this church today. There are still, I honestly wish Mason in the 1930s would have never, ever consecrated bishops in the Pentecostal movement. I wish PAW in the 1920s would have never had moved to consecrate bishops in the PAW, because if they had stayed faithful to the original paradigm, Pentecostals may have been a whole lot better than they are today, when they had actually living apostles among them. There's still a few of us real apostles out there. There's a few of us that understand our real assignment. Our assignment is not to mimic the Roman Catholic Church. Yes, we teach about them. Yes, we understand them. But some of you, you don't understand. Some of your apostles, you're fighting the bishopric, but don't understand that you have reinstituted the same bishopric just under different names. The Bible is so clear. The Bible is so clear. The Bible says, watch this, Acts 20:28, if you know any Greek apostles and bishops, read the text. 20:28, the Holy Spirit made you episcopals. Episcopal is bishop. King James translated overseer in the text should have been translated as bishop, or if they're going to be faithful to the text, they should have took the word bishop out of Timothy and Titus and put overseer there, or superintendent or president. They should have said that because the Bible says the Holy Spirit made you overseers, bishops, episcopal, to do one thing. Theomena, I think that's the correct word, which is another way of saying to shepherd, to pastor, to feed the flock of God. Now, that is the same thing that the teacher does, that third gift that the Bible said the Holy Spirit said in the church through the apostles, the teachers. That's the bishop. In Ephesians 4:11, the pastor teacher, that's the bishop. These bishops pastor the church. And pastors are a gift that the Bible said God set in church. So God set bishops in the church. We have crazy apostles out there who said that the bishop is elected office and God don't make bishops, man make bishops. Read your text. Read your Bible. When the Bible said God set these things in the church, he set them in the church through men. When he established Paul and Barnabas as an apostle, he did it through men. Read your Bible. Paul and Barnabas was made apostles by the prophets at Antioch through other men. The Holy Spirit spoke to them, and they set these men aside as apostles. I don't know where this other junk y'all getting from, because when I read my Bible, I'm able, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to understand the simplistic truths in it and to be able to apply them to my life. I honestly believe the devil really has the church deceived. Really has the church deceived. He has us fighting over stuff that we shouldn't even be fighting over. Bishops can't wear a shamir. Bishops and then can't wear a zucchetto. Is that true? Have you even read what the zucchetto is? That is the little cap that's supposed to warn the bald spot in your head. Technically speaking, women don't wear a zucchetto. And the next thing is, a zucchetto, any clergy can wear a zucchetto. Any clergy. And not only you, we have to be clergy to wear a zucchetto. You can be a monk and wear a zucchetto. You wear a brown one if you're a monk, because your habit is usually brown. Deacons can wear a zucchetto. Elders, priests can wear a zucchetto. Any rank of bishop can wear a zucchetto. Even cardinals who are not bishops can wear a zucchetto. And then, like I said, you'll stop all this idiotic stuff. Cardinals without episcopal character outranks the bishops. That means a simple priest in the Roman church who is not a bishop, if he's a cardinal, he outranks them. If he's a deacon and not a priest, he still outranks them. And according to the rubrics of the Roman church, a bishop must give up his throne if the cardinal is there presiding to the cardinal, even if the cardinal does not have episcopal character. People really need to read. Some of this stuff is so plainly out there that you have to be a fool. This is not my interpretation. This is not my interpretation. If you read it for yourself, you'll see the exact same thing. You'll see the exact same thing. I'm through. I ain't even been on this thing for 30 minutes. Just had to get this out of my system because I don't understand this. Because every one of those fourfold ministries, I said four, not five, fourfold ministries are apostolic. Every one of them are prophetic. Every one of them are evangelistic. Every one of them are pastoral. Y'all didn't hear that. Every one of them has a teaching ministry. Every apostle is a prophet. Every evangelist is apostolic and a prophet and pastoral. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? Every bishop is not only a pastor, but he's told to do the work of an evangelist. And he's an apostle in his arena as it relates to his local church, because he's the sent one to his local church. I wish people will understand the Bible and stop exegeting texts. This stuff is so plain that if it's a snake, it'll jump and bite you. because a lot of y'all don't even see it. It's right there in front of you, but you're blind. I'm praying today, dear God, let the scales fall off your church eyes. Let the scales fall off their eyes so that they may see what is plainly revealed in scriptures and govern themselves accordingly. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. For the past 20 or so minutes, I am Bishop Thomas Henry. I'm an apostle in the Lord's church. And I approve this message. And you have been listening to the Apostolic Voice. Go to my website. Go to the website of the Congress of the Apostles and Bishops, www.coaab.org. Get our information. We got two syllabus that are available in print, PDF. If you get it in PDF, you get it immediately. Our only thing is that you can only print out a copy for yourself. You're not authorized to print out more than one copy if it's sent to you in PDF. You can use the information in your church, in your ministry, to teach your people and all that. We pre-order our syllabus for this year. It's going to be a great syllabus. It's going to be a bigger syllabus than all the other two. A lot of the information you need is it covers the diaconate, it covers the presbyterate, it covers the bishopric, it covers every one of the ministries, the teaching ministries and the support ministries. You need this. I believe this year will change the church. If you will attend this, some of these other junk that these folks have been teaching you will become obsolete, because we're going to show you the truth in an objective, non-biased manner, so that God may be glorified and the devil may be defeated. God bless you. You have a great Sunday.